Introduction. Why study conversational hypnosis? For many decades, academics from many disciplines have sought the elusive answers to one of man's most puzzling questions. What makes humans tick? The answers to this question are often puzzling, too, because people often debate as to how to approach the problem in the first place. Do we look at culture and sociology? Do we analyze the economic brackets that define large groups of people? Do we look at people's fashion statements first? There are so many different avenues, and not a single avenue provides a direct and usable answer to people who want to be more influential and persuasive in life. Except one. Conversational hypnosis. Conversational hypnosis combines the best of various disciplines to provide actual solutions to common problems associated with social interactions. I designed this course to aid people from all walks of life. So whether you are a marketer, steward, writer, or teacher, the information available in this course will help make your life a lot easier by eliminating the obstacles to clear communication and by showing you how to establish complete harmony with people that you want to interact with. Imagine being able to reinvent yourself internally with the best hypnotic strategies. All your former weaknesses that manifest when you are talking to people will slowly dissipate until a truly new you emerges from the woodwork. Visualize the successes that you will be able to enjoy once you are able to greatly boost your self-confidence. Now, take all of those good feelings and combine them. You have the sum total of what conversational hypnosis is all about. True conversational hypnosis will allow you to create a completely different experience when you are with other people. If you used to be shy and uncomfortable talking to other people, especially people of authority, you will soon discover that there are specific strategies that you can employ to take control of any situation so that the cards will always be in your favor. No more guesswork and leaving things to chance. You can use one, two, or even three different strategies in the same conversation if you have to, just to get the beneficial result that you want. And the more you practice the techniques, the better the results. Why? Because conversational hypnosis is a skill, like riding a bike or driving a truck. At first, you're going to feel like you will never be able to master it. But after a few successful attempts, the whole process becomes familiar to you. You gain basic mastery of different strategies, and soon enough, you are hungry for more. And that's when you start learning the more advanced techniques, which is available in the advanced tier of this course. Defining hypnosis. You may have seen or heard of hypnosis from television or perhaps even a paperback novel. Some people even learn about hypnosis from comic books when they were young. Because popular culture loves the idea of being able to hypnotize another person so that he would do something against his will, hundreds of stories and TV shows have used the theme to entertain people. The problem is that the version of hypnosis or hypnotism present in popular culture is inaccurate. In fact, it is almost always 90% incorrect. The hypnosis we see in movies often has nothing to do with the discipline of clinical hypnosis and its sub-branches, like conversational hypnosis. In short, hypnosis on TV is fake hypnosis and should never be used as a basis for anything when you are studying actual hypnosis. Some of you might be thinking, what about those hypnotists who make people dance around in front of others on stage? Are they doing real hypnosis or not? Well, let me put it this way. Stage hypnotists may be well versed with the principles of hypnosis. However, they dress up hypnosis so that it would be entertaining to people. They use grand gestures to make people believe that they have power over anyone who steps on stage. Their bodily movements and even their tone of voice are part of the package. They need to do it because they are professional show people, and without their usual tricks on stage, people won't believe a thing they're saying. What about the people who act as if they would do anything they are told? That is another element of stage hypnosis that people do not fully understand. When a person steps on stage to be hypnotized, he is usually halfway there already. What I mean to say is that a person who actually volunteers to become a hypnotist subject is often already hypnotized by the very person on stage. A person volunteers because he believes in the ability of the hypnotist, and deep down, he really wants to be hypnotized. From a hypnotist's point of view, very little is left to be done when someone steps on stage with this type of mental trance. A hypnotic volunteer is already in trance and is only waiting for the right cues to be fully influenced by the hypnotist. What does this tell us about hypnosis? Several things, actually. 1. There are always tools that can be used to achieve specific results. 2. People can engage in self-hypnosis even without realizing it. 3. People can do a lot of things for you if they believe and trust you. 4. Hypnosis can be applied to people who want to be hypnotized in the first place. If there is too much resistance, or if something is blocking the hypnosis, it won't work. If a person truly believes in what a hypnotist is doing, he would have no trouble following the hypnotist's instructions. In fact, a person would happily place himself under a deep hypnotic trance just to show that he is a good hypnotic subject. Does this mean that a hypnotic subject would have no limitations? The answer is not really. Here's a good example. Even the most seasoned hypnotist won't be able to convince another person to go on a shooting spree. That's just not going to happen, because most people have a deeply ingrained moral code concerning killing and death. So if that was suggested to a hypnotic subject, the subject would simply step out of the trance just to disagree with the suggestion. So you have to always keep this in mind when formulating your hypnotic suggestions. Your suggestions must not go against the ethics and or morality of your subject. It doesn't matter if your own brand of morality is dissonant with your subject's morality. What matters is you acknowledge the other person's deeply held beliefs and use that information to create an atmosphere of mutual trust. There has to be trust before any real hypnosis can take place. Another important element of effective hypnosis is mutual benefit. In order to truly influence someone hypnotically, you need to devise a setup where both of you will get something positive from the interaction. I'm going to share with you a story of two highly skilled and loony hypnotists who actually used a person to convey personalized messages to each other. Now, normally we use things like email, text messages, and the trusty old phone to send messages to each other. These two hypnotists decided that they would have a bit of fun. They had a common patient, we'll call him Jim, and this hypnotic subject was used to send questions and queries to each other. Whenever one hypnotist would hypnotize the patient would actually respond using the voice and mannerisms of the other hypnotist. This went on for quite a while, and the two loony hypnotists had a blast sending and receiving messages this way. Now the big question is, why did the patient agree to do it? Why did Jim, the unwitting messenger, speak and act out the replies of the hypnotists? Simple. He got free therapy from both hypnotists. The two hypnotists never charged Jim a dime whenever he came for a visit, and he received hypnotic therapy from two skilled professionals. Sure, he became a hypnotic phone line of sorts, but at the same time, he gained insight and was able to resolve troubling personal issues through hypnotherapy. If Jim didn't receive any kind of mutual benefit from his interaction with the two hypnotherapists, he probably would have ignored the hypnotic suggestion to send messages to the other hypnotherapist, complete with proper voice and gestures. This shows just how important mutual benefit is to hypnosis. Without it, no amount of hypnotic suggestions will ever bring you your desired outcome. So if you're still thinking that it is somehow possible to completely control another person's mind with your words, think again. You can only do so much to influence another person. And a person can still say no to you after all is said and done. Does this mean that hypnosis doesn't work? If you think this way, I invite you to review what I just said in the preceding section. Hypnosis works, but only if there is a mutual benefit or a win-win situation. A win-win situation is not inherent in all social interactions. Often, a social interaction is initiated because there is a one-sided or selfish benefit or goal in mind. This is all right because that is how humans were designed to think and act. We put ourselves first because it is our way of surviving a harsh and often unpredictable world. But then again, you need to reevaluate things if you need someone to do something really important for you. How hypnosis works. In the previous section, you gained some insight as to how a hypnotist can convince a person to do an action repeatedly, with little or no nudging. Jim, the hypnotic messenger, performed his duty for the two hypnotists who thoroughly enjoyed receiving animated messages whenever Jim was deep in a hypnotic trance. Would Jim do such things if a hypnotic trance was not induced? Probably not. And so we use this as a jumping point to answer the most common question. What is hypnosis? The long and short of it is hypnosis is an altered mindset or way of thinking. Imagine your thoughts as a never-ending train that's headed toward a set direction. When another person hypnotizes you, the direction and the content of that train of thoughts will change. The next question is, why do we need to hypnotize in the first place? People are most likely to agree with another person when they are in a hypnotic trance. Although people are universally focused on preserving their personal resources, it is still a fact that 9 times out of 10, people make rational decisions based on irrational premises. Of course, people will most likely disagree with this statement. A lot of people might actually become annoyed at the idea that they make irrational decisions all the time. But it's true, and here's why. Humans were designed to preserve their cognitive resources along with all other material resources at their disposal. We don't think deeply of the things that we say or do, at least not all of the time. If we did that, as the theory goes, we would be exhausted from all the thinking that we have to do, and we won't have any cognitive resources left when we really need to sit down and think about something really important. This is the reason why a lot of people have knee-jerk responses to people and situations. For example, when we see someone in an orange jumpsuit, we automatically think that he's an escaped convict. Why? Because we cross-reference ideas and information when we receive them. We don't think hard unless our train of thought is altered by an external force. In the case of persuasion and influence, that external force is hypnosis. Does this mean that hypnosis is somewhat artificial? Is hypnosis foreign to the human mind? Not at all. Hypnosis wouldn't work for thousands of people around the world if it were completely foreign to the human mind. It would be very difficult to translate and transcode hypnotic techniques if we did not have access to universal characteristics that are common to the general populace. Hypnosis works because it is a natural state of mind. It happens all the time, whether you like it or not. If hypnosis happened to people all the time, why would anyone need a course like this one to use hypnosis in day-to-day interactions? Hypnosis transpires naturally, but it also takes place by accident, depending on what a person is doing. For example, if a person was to drive about 50 miles, he probably would have little recollection of the first 20 miles because he was so entranced in the act of driving. That's one example of self-hypnosis, and all forms of hypnosis are subsumed under the rubric of self-hypnosis. Hypnosis is a state of mind where you focus on something so intently that you forget to take notice of other things. There is no magic or trickery here, just plain old hypnosis at work. Hypnosis takes place when you watch your favorite football games and when you read someone's feed from Twitter or any other social network. In order to truly appreciate and absorb something, the human mind creates a specific trance to accommodate the experience. When a charismatic speaker goes up on stage, people usually become so absorbed with what he's doing and saying that they find it hard to do anything else. They become engrossed in the message, and people rarely stop to say things like, "Why are we listening in the first place? What is he really trying to say?" People act this way because they understand what's being said and what's happening, and by virtue of this awareness, they are able to enter a trance that gives them full access to the signs and meanings contained within a specific experience. We'll call the different experiences realities. But the big difference is what is real and completely understandable to you might make zero sense to your subject. Think of hypnosis this way. When you walk in on a conversation and everyone's just giggling and laughing their hearts out, the whole situation or event won't make sense to you. Yet. But when you sit down and you integrate yourself to the situation, it will begin to make sense. And soon enough, you will be engrossed in the topic, and you just might be laughing silly too. Part of successful conversational hypnosis is knowing what others know and being aware of how specific emotions are triggered. Because we all know now that emotions play a big part in how people actually respond to different stimuli. When a person's emotions change during a conversation, his response to you might be affected, depending on other circumstances, of course. But generally, a change in a person's emotional makeup can spell the difference between complete agreement and violent disagreement. We also have to take into account the fact that changes in a person's emotions are unconscious for the most part. People don't say, "I'm going to be angry in 3, 2, 1, boom." They just feel angry when something comes up that displeases them. So when you are talking to another person, you, as the hypnotist, must be able to place a pulse not only on what the other person is hearing and believing, but what he is feeling at the same time. Because if the other person begins to experience negative emotions, those emotions can completely negate what you've done so far. Before we go in-depth into how you can use hypnosis to gain an advantage during conversations, I want you to take a step back first to examine how the world is presented to us by common channels of information. I am not going to support any particular cause at this moment. I'm not even going to bring up the media or whatnot. What I do want to point out is that at any given moment, there's something that is trying to influence you. Even a simple sign on the street may be trying to influence you into doing something or thinking in a particular manner. When you read a print magazine and you turn the pages casually, you can be sure that everything in there was put there with a purpose. It may be to do something, like buy a product, or to think in a particular manner. For example, this magazine is the best. As a master hypnotist in the making, I want you to start breaking free from the unconscious trances that these things are generating. Of course, not all trances are harmful. In fact, many trances are quite harmless. For example, when you're watching a movie. But then again, if you want to be really good at hypnosis, you need to start controlling how you are influenced by external stimuli. It is actually quite easy to break free from a trance. All you need to do is to think critically. I'm not saying that you should try to break down everything that you come across. I'm not asking you to think negatively of everything that you hear or read. Quite the opposite. What I'm asking you is to simply formulate your own beliefs using your own knowledge and experiences. Do not take suggestions and adopt them as your own beliefs without at least analyzing what they're really about. Because too often, people become so entranced in carefully crafted messages that they forget to think for themselves. As a hypnotist, you need to shield yourself from such trances because you might end up being hypnotized yourself when you are trying to influence another person. Beginning hypnosis. We spend a lot of time preparing ourselves for hypnosis. It's not a joke or a magic trick. Hypnosis also isn't about making people bend down to your will, because there is no such thing. What we do know now is hypnosis is a natural state of mind that you can use to make people agree with you. It's something that you can employ every time you need harmony and agreement with other people. So when you are out there talking to people who have an impact on your life or career, you are in a prime position to always get what you want and what you need. Now, there are actually 4 essential steps that you should be aware of if you want to make the most of your conversational hypnosis sessions. Step 1. Drawing attention. This is really the most vital step of all because at the center of hypnosis, self-hypnosis, is a person's conscious attention. Without this conscious attention, you would have a tough time conveying anything to your subject. Drawing another person's attention is more than just making quips and using funny lines to make the subject titter. It's more of magnetizing the other person's waking consciousness so that he would willingly adapt your own train of thought. He must see what you see in your mind's eye. His thoughts should be parallel, if not identical, to yours. Do this, and you will see a significant change in how a person will interact with you in any given social situation. Step number 2. Sidestep the critical factor. The human mind has 2 halves, the conscious mind and the unconscious mind. These two halves protect, nurture, and generally complement each other every moment. The unconscious mind is the endless spring of creativity and desires. Conscious mind is the wall that protects the vulnerable and trusting unconscious mind from opportunistic and potentially harmful stimuli. In order to be a truly effective hypnotist, you must develop a knack for sidestepping the critical component of the mind. Because if you don't, everything that you will say will be met with skepticism and resistance. Resistance in another person means you are not fully in harmony with the subject, and he's not really following your train of thought. It is possible that your subject is not following your train of thought because he doesn't fully trust you, and his conscious mind is being very picky and critical of what you are saying. Step number 3. Trigger subconscious responses. A true master hypnotist knows how to trigger responses from the other person's subconscious mind. We're not talking about verbal responses like yes or no. A person can say no, but can still be quietly amazed at what you're saying. The more important thing is to influence that part of the brain that has the bigger say when it's time to decide, the subconscious mind. And while it is true the subconscious mind can generate dozens of different responses during day-to-day interactions, the most important response that you can ever generate is an emotional response. Because when a person's emotions have already been influenced, you're in deep and you are in a great position to begin asking the person to do something for you. Step number 4. Lead by hand. When a hypnotic subject is fully engrossed in what you have to say and he trusts you fully, you can begin leading him to the result that you want to emerge from the interaction. This can be a sale, a romantic night out, or even just a friendship. As long as your requirement is reasonable and is understandable within the context of the interaction, there's a big chance that the other person will say yes to what you want to happen.